to the Infinite Scale podcast. My name is James Vickery and I will be your host. I'm kind of excited today in a way. It's been a while since I had a solo podcast. Usually I get interviewed on the podcast and that's because I'm really lucky. I've got amazing people that can take some time out and ask me some questions and spark some ideas. But every now and then if I find the time, I love to sort of riff on topics that I'm really passionate about as well. So welcome to the show. The format's a little bit different today and I hope you like it. And by the way, if there's something that you want us to cover on the Infinite Scale podcast, maybe something that you're looking to learn a little bit more about, or even if you're thinking about maybe coming on the show, you can drop us an email at hello@benchmark365.com. Let us know what you're interested in doing or what you're interested in us doing, and we'd be glad to promote it on the show. So thanks again for joining. I want to talk today about outsourcing. And you might say, well, what a surprise, being that outsourcing is what Benchmark 365 does for managed service providers. But we don't actually often talk about it in great detail on the show. When we started the show, we decided that we wanted to really add as much value to the managed service community as possible. We've been in the game for 21 years. And we've overcome certain things like marketing challenges and sales challenges and cash flow issues and dealing with difficult employees and difficult customers. So we wanted to make a show that was about that. And of course, now and then we might talk about outsourcing as a benefit to organizations, but it's been a while since we did a big deep dive. And the reason that I'd like to cover that on today's show is that the market for outsourcing, or the market for managed service providers, has shifted dramatically in the last few years. And I think it's fair to say that COVID was really the driver that made managed service providers and really all organizations start to look at different and unique ways to staff their business. Now, I remember when we started Benchmark in 2016, we had a heck of a job educating managed service providers about outsourcing. The sort of questions we used to get were just phenomenal. We ended up with this FAQ with like hundreds of questions to answer for MSPs, and we almost don't get that many questions anymore because outsourcing has become more commonplace. And I think that's a really good thing. I think the outsourcing genie is now out of the bottle. I think this is a great thing for managed service providers that are looking to optimize their business and make better margins. And I think it's great for people in developing nations who are just human beings just like you and I and deserve the same opportunity as someone that lives in, you know, the United States or Canada or Australia or Britain or other more fortunate countries around the world. So I actually think this is a really great thing. But I want to talk about the different ways it can go about outsourcing, because now that we're seeing MSPs show a greater interest in outsourcing, we're actually seeing them make all of the crazy mistakes that we made when we started outsourcing, oh, about 12, maybe 14 years ago. So I'll talk a little bit about how we ended up outsourcing first, and then I'm going to dive into three or four ways that I think MSPs seek to outsource and what are the pros and cons of each one of those. So hopefully this is a great topic for you. If you've thought about outsourcing and you haven't tried it before, it is actually a really great time to have a look around at what's out there. And if you've tried it before and you've had a poor experience, I think it's fair to say that it's matured quite a bit. You know, I can remember outsourcing's reputation really had originally came from the 90s when telecommunications companies were looking to outsource to reduce the cost of their own customer support, and it was really poor. And I think that there's a little element of that still. But if we think, you know, that's been 30 something years since outsourcing became a thing, and it was really just for large enterprise. Now it's all the way down to the micro level of business, and it's booming. The Philippines, for example, has over 4,500 outsourcing firms and growing. And I think with over 1 million people employed in that sector, which is just an amazing, amazing level of scale, actually an incomprehensible level of scale. And we're seeing sort of similar in obviously in India, which was the OG of outsourcing, and South and Latin America and places like that as well. So it's been a really long time, and if you've sort of there's a bit of a stigma for you about outsourcing, it might be well worth having a look at it again. But why would you outsource? I mean, there's wonderful technicians all over the world. There's hundreds of thousands of arguably millions of people that can provide tech support for your MSP that come from all walks of life. And that have all sorts of skills and maybe really greatly suited to what you do. Well, my reality or my position on this is that MSPs are effectively getting squeezed, and it's only getting worse. When we started out in the early 2000s, we started out kind of cheap. We were charging $90 an hour, and then quickly we realized it wasn't enough. We went to 120, and then we went to 150. And then we eventually went to managed services, and I think we used to charge about $150 a user. And that was, now almost 20 years ago. And we talk to MSPs today who are still charging about the same, if not less. So what we've seen is either a decline in how much MSPs charge, or we've seen a massive rise in labor cost, and the hourly rates or managed fixed rates are about the same. That to me is terrifying. It's actually terrifying that we've gone 20 years and not really seen a, remarkable rate rise. I've often said that plumbers and carpenters and electricians, not that they are any less reputable, but they charge a lot more than what managed service providers do. And I always find that kind of strange given the risk and liability of our industry. Today, there's a hell of a lot more compliance, risk compliance, cybersecurity. And customers are holding managed service providers and even break fix providers to a level of accountability that, in my opinion, is well beyond the rates that are charged by managed service providers. So we came to this recognition around 2012, thereabout, maybe 2010, I'll say, and we started looking at ways to make a change. And I didn't want to, I looked at my team, I thought my team were great. But we kept losing people all the time. Like we would hire someone, we'd do a ton of training with them. They might work for us for 8 months, 12 months. Sometimes we're lucky, 2 years. But right when we got them to sort of an optimal level, they would leave and they would say, just like, oh, sorry, James, but you're paying me $70,000 and this company's offering me $100,000. And we were small. We just couldn't do it. And that just kept happening over and over again. And then at the same time, we had constant pressure from our clients to, we would try to say, hey, you need to buy this new piece of technology. And they would go shopping on the internet. This was sort of, we came from the era where customers wouldn't even know what to look for. And then smack bang into the internet e-commerce era where customers would say, oh, give me the part number for that and I'll go look for it myself. And that was just, to me, like 10 years of hard work felt like it was on the decline. And then it was going to get harder and harder. So I made this decision to look at outsourcing. And at first, we tried a couple of different firms to help us, and that didn't really work out. And then we started out trying to hire people directly in the Philippines. And that's the story that I want to start to tell today. So we tried everything. And there are effectively four different ways that you can outsource. And the first one is freelancing. So freelancing is where you go on Upwork, for example, and you decide that you're looking for a technician, and you might find one on there, and they could be based in, as I said, the Philippines or India or South America, Central America, somewhere like that. And you go, great, they're like really affordable, and they look like they've got the skills you need, and so you can hire them. And so freelancing is one way, and that's where you find someone, you employ them directly. It's probably not entirely above board where they're from. They're not like formally employed, they're just kind of paid the equivalent of cash in hand. But that's an option that's been around for a really long time. The second option is BPOs or employment agencies. They're often called BPOs, and as I said earlier in the podcast, there's around 4,500 of those in the Philippines alone. There's probably, over 10,000, 15,000 of them worldwide. So this is a big, mature industry, and there are lots of players. And the advantage of a BPO is that they will do the hiring and I guess the firing, And they will do the housing, meaning that they'll provide an office or they'll provide some sort of facility, such as like the technology needed to work from home. And they will provide the human resource element, and they'll charge you an administrative fee for that. And so it's a little bit of a step above recruitment because, oh, sorry, freelancing, because they are handling the recruitment. They kind of maybe got a better feel for what people are like on the ground. If you don't live in those offshore regions, you don't really know what to look for necessarily. And so a BPO is an option that's a step ahead of freelancing. And another option is to use a shared service provider. So I'll not use an MSP example, I might use bookkeeping as an example. So you can go to a firm that just does bookkeeping, and rather than doing bookkeeping for one company, they can do bookkeeping for 100 or 1,000 or 10,000. There's a couple abroad that work for, you know, tens of thousands of companies, and they've streamlined a particular service. And I'll use a managed services example. Benchmark 365 is a shared service provider, and we provide help desk and or project services to managed service providers. And so that's a streamlined approach to providing a service to lots of different businesses. Now, the difference with a shared service provider is that it is not dedicated staffing, and that eliminates some of the risks that are involved in freelancing or some of the risks that are involved with a BPO. Because if someone were to leave the bookkeeping organization, just again to use a parallel example, it doesn't, you're not really affected by that, because the hope is that that provider is also banking in more resources, training more resources, and they can supplant the team with somebody else. So your books still get done. So you're happy with the outcome because you're not having to worry about all the staffing headaches. And so, and similarly with shared help desk providers like Benchmark, that's the value proposition, is that you no longer have to worry about recruiting, hiring, training, and development, and making sure that these workers come to work and all of those sort of things. You're just buying a service, and you expect that service to be delivered 9 to 5 or 24 hours a day. And then the last one is building your own offshore corporation, which we ultimately ended up doing. And that took several years, and that was after we tried freelancing and BPOing and different shared service providers. We decided to take matters into our own hands. But this is a much more complex approach that I won't touch on too much today. And the reason for that is often you need to be, well, it would be my advice that you need to be on the ground and have a very good sense of how corporations work in foreign countries. It's ideal if you have someone that you really trust in that country to do it for you. And there's a lot of other legal complexity, and maybe even tax complexity, to building your own corporation. In our experience, it takes at least 20 people to really make it worth your while. Your mileage may vary, but again, I'm not going to touch on it because I think the most of our audience would not be likely to go down that path, at least not initially. So there are the four ways that you can outsource, and I think it's wonderful that there are all of these options. As I've mentioned, giving more opportunity to developing nations is really great, and finding ways to reduce cost in your MSP and to deliver more effectively is great too. Before we get into the options, I also want to say, and I maybe should have said this at the start, I'm not here referring to onshore outsourcing companies. So I know that there are US-based options as well. It's just been my experience that onshore are facing some of the same challenges that you might be in your managed service provider. Their labor cost is not going to be cheaper than yours. And to deliver a sustainable, say, 24-hour-a-day service, it may actually be the same, if not more, cost to your business to use an onshore provider. There may be some limitations to those. And I'm not here to point out the pros and cons of any provider at all. I think there's lots of great options in the market, and I stand by that. But I'm not going to touch on onshore because I don't feel it solves the problem that most MSPs approach me and my company to solve, which is to reduce the cost of delivery and provide a more scalable solution to their business. And why is that important? Well, because MSPs are getting squeezed. MSPs are fundamentally getting squeezed. Labor costs are going up, margins are going down. More competition entering the market. You only have to go on Reddit, Facebook, all the different MSP groups, and there's a new MSP looking to start every single day. And that's creating downward pressure on pricing. It's often referred to as the invisible hand of the market, that no matter how much you try to push prices up, there is a ceiling because there's so much competition in the market. So I'm just going to talk about offshoring today, and I hope that's okay. Maybe we'll do another episode on the pros and cons of onshore versus offshore as well. And one more disclaimer, although Benchmark provides shared services and we do provide a very competitive option for MSPs, we fully recognize that there's lots of different ways. There's effectively a trillion-dollar market out there for IT service providers in one way, shape, or form. There's not going to be any one outsourcing firm that's going to take on the entire managed services market, and we're certainly not trying to do that. And so if you feel more comfortable building up your own team or building up your own offshore team, then by all means do that. The purpose of this podcast is to just share some, you know, pros, cons, and pitfalls so that you can make a decision for your business that's right for you. So going back to the options, freelancing, BPO, shared services, we won't do the corporate thing. Let's talk about freelancing. So freelancing on the surface can seem like a really great idea for a bootstrapping MSP. If you can find someone on, you know, a freelance platform, and they seem super qualified, and you know, they've got great communication skills, and they're affordable. You know, they might be, I don't know, $1,000 a month or $2,000 a month, and you're like, wow, this is really competitive. The challenge with offshore freelancing is reliability, and it's been our experience, and we've done this. Just a reminder that we've done this at scale. The reality is for an MSP is that you're in an on-demand industry. So help desk services need to be real time. They need to be fast. And project services, I would argue, are the same, that you can't have projects that amble along for weeks or months due to labor force problems. And so it's been our experience that freelancing is a really challenging environment if you want to run an effective managed service provider. And I think that if it's your first foray into outsourcing, the things that are important to recognize is that, and again, I'm using broad generalizations here, but freelancers in developing nations have vastly different circumstances to your own if you're listening from a developed country such as the United States. We're talking about massive challenges with transportation in developing nations. We're talking about massive challenges with internet and power infrastructure, long outages and unexpected outages that can occur. We're talking no health or medical safety net in these countries. So only, even something that's like rather trivial, like someone saying, hey, my cousin had to go to hospital, that can be a family affair in places like the Philippines and other developing nations. And suddenly that worker is not as reliable for all of those factors. So when it comes to freelancing, I'd like to recommend to people that you apply the rule of three. And the rule of three is that you hire one person that you really, really like, you hire another person as a backup, and you hire another person in case one or both of those other two leave unexpectedly. It's been my experience that freelancers are rarely successful long term. And I know I'm going to get pushback about this because I do quite often when someone tells me, hey, we hire freelancers, we've had an amazing experience, and I don't know what you're talking about, James. And if I hear that, I say, good for you. I have too. And I have. But as we've tried to scale freelance operations, it has not been as reliable and successful. And so if I hear it once, I'm like, awesome, good for you, thumbs up, well done, congratulations to you, and look after that person and treat them well, and they'll be very loyal to you, and so on. But if I hear it twice, three times, four times, I start looking around for four-leaf clovers, because I think it's that rare. Now, of course, I'm talking about managed service providers. There are lots of ancillary roles that work well with outsourcing. For example, you know, you might have an administrative assistant where you can afford to wait 4 or 5 hours if the power's down. You know, they can get back to you a little bit later in the day. Or someone that does sort of process work that's not customer facing, you know, short-term project work, which is really the essence of what freelancing was designed for. But when you're trying to deliver help desk and reliable help desk, it's been my experience that freelance is the highest risk approach to outsourcing that your business can take. So the next one is using a BPO. So BPO is business process outsourcing, and they've been around for like a really long time, since the 90s, when, you know, your large telecommunications companies like AT&T in the United States and Telstra in Australia, or British Telecom in the United Kingdom, all started looking at outsourcing, and they were the ones that built, they pioneered this industry, and they built this industry. And there are lots of organizations like Tech Mahindra and Accenture, these massive companies with hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, were the original outsourcing or BPO companies. But now these companies have become more specialized and they're smaller. There's a lot of smaller options out there. And the great thing about a BPO is they take away the freelancer headache, or at least they should. Now, we've used a BPO. We've used a couple, actually, and we ran into a couple of problems in our experience. One is culture was a really big challenge. So we had our culture and we had our drivers for wanting to outsource, but the BPO had their own agenda. You know, they might have had an agenda of the sort of people that they wanted to employ that didn't align with the sort of people that we wanted to employ. And they had certain agendas about, for example, benefits of employees that didn't necessarily align with our policies, which may have been more generous to employees. And so we found that we had a lot of difficult times with BPOs. And the biggest lesson that we got from a BPO is that not a lot of them actually specialize in managed services. And there are some that do, and so keep that in mind, but a lot don't. And why is that important? Well, I just think MSP is probably one of the most extremely different business models out there compared to everything else. MSPs is a very demanding role. You need to wear multiple hats. You need to think on your feet. There's not process documentation for every tiny little thing that you do in your company. And so as a result, if you don't hire a specialized BPO, you end up with this kind of like a weird kind of pipeline in recruitment. And so it's important when you are looking at a BPO to look and see that they consistently work with managed service providers. If you go to their website and they say, we do MSP and we do accounting and we do legal and we do, you know, architecture and we do engineering and design, then I would maybe have a think about looking a little bit deeper into them or looking around, because they're effectively just jumping on the bandwagon. MSP is booming right now. It's a very resilient industry. And so lots of BPOs are popping up and saying, hey, we can do that too. It's like a Me Too kind of thing. So the upside of a BPO is they recruit for you, which if they do a good job of that, that's great. They look after the welfare of the employee because they're based in that country. So they can sort of provide, you know, eyes and ears for you so that you can, you know, your employees are at work. And they can also kind of help deal with sort of local challenges in local language, which is also very important. I know in our company, when there's anything complex going on, our management team will speak to our team in local lingo because it comes across the right way compared to us explaining it in the Western world. So BPO has its pros, but there are also cons. The next thing to think about is, because there are cons, I still think the rule of three applies when hiring through a BPO. You will have BPOs who want to contract you in for a year or 2 years. They'll say you can hire one person. I think that that's a mistake. I think that MSP roles are quite specialized. If you're looking for continuity, think about the challenges that are happening in these developing nations. It's going to be exactly the same challenges for a BPO as it is for you hiring a freelancer. So the rule of three still applies. But once you apply the rule of three, then the cost of BPO services can go up. So remember, they have to charge you an administrative fee. And so the market averages of administrative fees might be somewhere from like $750 US a month to $1,250 US a month. Then you've got your employee wages on top, which might range from $1,000 to $3,000 a month. And so all of a sudden, applying the rule of three, you can end up with, you know, a really big bill every month for these employees, with maybe one or two of them not exactly performing optimally for your business, but it's what's needed for continuity. And again, I get pushback on this. Lots of people have people in BPOs, but it's really interesting how many inquiries we get from people that say, look, I've tried that and it's not working that great for me. And in my experience, it's because of lack of scale. And I think that's kind of the moral of the story with the whole rule of three thing is that outsourcing works really well at scale, or it can work really well at scale, and it takes time to build up to that, but it often performs poorly at low entry point type options such as freelancing or hiring one person through a BPO. Your mileage may vary. Lots of wonderful success stories out there. Not here to say anything negative about any specific approach, but the cons are definitely there whether you whether you've experienced them or not. The last one I want to talk about today is shared services. And we've tried different shared service providers. And what we found is that we had a really poor experience with shared service providers. So shared service providers generally promise to do a thing for you. So often they will say, hey, we can handle your after hours support, or we can look at your backups and do proactive maintenance. We can manage your RMM. Or we can work tickets for you during, you know, overflow tickets for you. And when we tried shared services, and our MSP tried to use shared service providers, we had a really poor experience. And one we tried where we just had them handle the backups for us, and another one we tried where they handled overflow tickets and after hours tickets for us, and both of them didn't end well for our business, and is actually the catalyst for us starting Benchmark 365 in the end. Now, the reason that those types of shared service providers can be problematic is this sort of lack of tribal knowledge that occurs when you only have a low scale engagement with the shared service provider. So if you just say, hey, I just want you to do my after hours work, is a little bit like hiring someone and then saying, hey, welcome to the team, you're on night shift, and we're never going to talk to you again because we're going to be ships in the night. You're going to come in at late at night. You're going to be gone by the time we get there in the morning. Those types of arrangements with a shared service provider, I can draw a lot of parallels. And so when we started Benchmark 365, we recognized that in order to deliver effective shared services, we needed to actually do daytime work and nighttime work, or not exclusively do nighttime work, because we needed to get to know the teams we were working with, and we needed to build some momentum with those businesses. And that's why I think we've had quite a lot of success in the market. But the advantage of shared services is that you're not hiring people directly. And because there can be some volatility in developing nations, even, you know, in our company where, you know, we've got a really, really large team, multiple offices, multiple geo redundancy in our company, because we've been around for a long time, there are still challenges that, you know, there still can be times where employees can't make it to work. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they have to go back to the province because of a sick relative. But the great thing about a shared service provider is if they've accounted for that, it's not your problem. You know, Johnny slips on a banana peel and hits his head and can't come to work today. And that's really, you know, bad for Johnny, but not bad for the managed service provider that used the shared service, because there's a replacement in place and ready to deliver Johnny's services to your business. And so that's a huge advantage to shared services. Another big advantage is if you're utilizing shared services 24 hours a day, this is well beyond the rule of three. It's like to really deliver effective 24/7 service, it's like the rule of eight, maybe 10. And to do that as you scale, it actually gets a lot bigger and more complex than that. So if you're a smaller MSP and you're like, hey, I want to compete at the mid-market, or I want to compete with larger MSPs, using a shared service provider is a really powerful way to accelerate your journey as a managed service provider. And that's why we chose to build out our model doing it that way, because we saw that as the most advantageous approach for the managed service market. So hopefully that gives you a bit of an overview. A recap is that freelancing can be great if you're bootstrapping, but apply the rule of three so that you're not having intermittent problems delivering service to your customers. The last thing you want to do is outsource and shift your attention from going out and marketing and selling and enhancing the products and services that you offer, and spending all of your time wondering where your freelance employees are every day. So freelancing, I want to take a balanced approach and say it has its place, but it's the highest risk option. And the way to de-risk it is to scale it. It's to try to scale it as quickly as you can. And BPO was the next one we talked about. And again, I think the advantage is that they take some of that human resource pain away and some of that uncertainty that comes with freelancers can be, I wouldn't say eliminated, but can be drawn down quite a bit by using a professional company. But just remember to find ones that focus on managed service providers. And just remember that if that's just above the fold and you can sort of see below the fold that they're an everything store of recruitment, just be really mindful of that. And also be mindful of the fact that there can be some significant cultural differences. And I'm not just referring to the culture of the country that they're based in, but the culture of the organization and sort of trying to assimilate your organization into theirs as opposed to you having more of an oversight. And the last thing I'd say about BPOs is you should think about getting on a plane and going over and assessing these organizations rather than just taking it at face value, because there's a lot more to it and there are actually a lot of options offshore as well that you can check out while you're there. And the last one that I mentioned, shared services, I think is a very optimal way. Of course, they're not your staff. And so some MSPs say, well, I want my own people. And to that, I would say, great, you're going to build a team. But building an effective, highly effective team onshore or offshore is a large journey. For most MSPs, it's a 2-decade journey to build a highly effective team. So if you're looking for a turnkey solution, you're looking to fast forward and accelerate your growth, and you don't want to deal with the nonsense of managing people. And look, I'm just going to call it like it is. Most of us have great people in our organizations, but we've also had to go through a lot of challenges to get there as well. And so your mileage again may vary, but if you want to jump all of that, if you want to skip all of that and just run your service desk effectively and you want to run a sales team, then shared services, I think, is the most optimal approach to take in the market. But tell me what you think. You know, as I said, if you've got opinions about this, I'd love to hear from you. You can drop an email to hello@benchmark365.com. If you want to talk about outsourcing and you want to go into a little bit more detail with myself or someone from our team about it, I'd love to have you join us for a call and we can talk about it. So again, just visit the website. You can also chat on our website, hit me up on LinkedIn, hit me up on Reddit. I'm JV Benchmark 365. But other than that, it's been really great to have you here today and looking forward to having you join us on the next show. Talk to you soon. Bye.